Well, hello and welcome to this English lesson about phrasal verbs part two. If you were here last week, I did a lesson called phrasal verbs part one, where we looked at about 25 or 26 phrasal verbs that are common in the English language. This week we'll be looking at phrasal verbs part two. I have another set of about 25, maybe 26 phrasal verbs to talk about, and I think you will enjoy this. It will be a bit of review for some of you, but it will also be a time to learn some new phrasal verbs. And again, if you don't know what phrasal verbs are, it's when we take a verb and then we take another word, and then when we put the verb and the other word together, it makes a verb with a new meaning. So it can be a little bit confusing for English learners, but I hope that I can clarify a few things for you this morning and help you understand phrasal verbs a bit better. So once again, welcome to this English lesson about phrasal verbs, part two. To wake up and to get up. So these are two of the first phrasal verbs you'll probably learn in English, and they have slightly different meanings for me. For me, when I think about it, when I wake up in the morning, it's when I go from sleeping to being awake. Like the moment I stop sleeping and I open my eyes, that is when I wake up. That is how I define it, and most people define it that way as well. But get up is the activity of going from being in bed to either sitting or standing, okay? So get this, I can set my alarm and I can wake up at 7, but sometimes I don't get up until 7:10. So at 7 o'clock, the alarm goes off. Actually, it went off at 6:45 this morning. So at 6:45, I woke up, past tense. But I didn't get up until 7 o'clock. That's when I sat up and eventually stood up and got dressed and started my day. So to wake up, when you go from sleeping to being awake. To get up, when you actually physically get out of the bed. To bundle up. So this is a picture from the other day. And this might be a somewhat weather-related phrasal verb. When I go outside on a day like this, right now it's -9 and snowing, I will bundle up. I will wear a t-shirt. I will wear a long sleeve shirt. I will wear a hoodie or sweater. I will wear a winter coat, a toque or winter hat, gloves, and then I had my balaclava on as well on my face. So when it's really, really cold, you want to bundle up before you go outside. When I was a kid, my mom would bundle us up before we went outside to play. So she would put on our hats and mitts and toques and winter boots and send us outside. By the way, toque is a Canadian word for winter hat. So you can just use winter hat if you're not in Canada to describe it. To get over. So this is the verb, the definition I'm going to give you, there's a few, but the definition I'm going to give you is to eventually be happy after a sad event, or to eventually not be stressed about something anymore. So it works this way. Let's say someone was dating someone else and they broke up. They're no longer together. Eventually that person will get over it, okay? So eventually they will be happy again. Let's say that someone in your family passed away, someone died, and it's very, very sad for weeks or months or years. But eventually, not totally, but eventually you get over it a little bit. You do return to living your life as normal. So when you get over something, it means something in your past that wasn't a happy thing happened, and you're now no longer thinking about it a lot or stressed about it. So you get over it. That's a hard one. That's a pretty advanced phrasal verb. Hopefully you understood my explanation. To back up. Now, this has a couple of meanings. So one meaning is a newer meaning. It means to put your information on an external hard drive or onto a thumb drive or onto a USB stick. So maybe you have a lot of files on your computer and you want to make sure that you don't lose those files. You might want to back up the files onto, in the far picture, you'll see the hard drive. Now I'm smiling because Jen's taking the kids to school and she's about to back up the van and I don't have a way to show you. So everyone's getting in the van right now. Excuse me. And in a moment, she's going to back up. So when you are in a vehicle and you put the vehicle into reverse, you then back up. So you can back up out of your driveway. You can back up out of a parking spot. You can also back out of a parking spot. Sorry to confuse you. But to back up means to protect your data and your files by creating a second copy. Or it can mean to drive the video, or sorry, it can mean to drive a vehicle in reverse, to call around. So sometimes, here's a good example. Let's say I went out for the evening, and when I came home, I didn't have my wallet. I would probably call around to all my friends, the people who I went out with, to see if one of them found it. Let's say I didn't know where my brother was. I might call around. I might call his house, then I might call my sister's house. I might call my brother's house because I want to figure out where he is. So when you call around, it means to make a whole bunch of phone calls because you're looking for something or someone, or you're just looking for some information. So I'm trying to think of another example. Sometimes our power goes out. We have no electricity. And then I call around to see if the neighbors are having the same problem. So I'll call my one neighbor and then my other neighbor and then my other neighbor to see if they are also experiencing a power outage. So to call around means to call several people in a row to find something out. To check out. Now this has a couple of meanings. I'm going to cover the one that's a little more scandalous. It can mean to leave a hotel. When you're done staying at a hotel, you can check out from the hotel. It also can mean like when you buy something online, eventually you do the checkout. That's more of the noun, right? You do the checkout. So ignore that one. But it could also mean when you look at someone because they are attractive. So in this picture, this is a classic internet picture. A guy is walking with his girlfriend, but another girl has walked by and he has turned to check her out. So yes, very scandalous. He is looking at her because he thinks she is very attractive. So when you check someone out, it means that you see someone that you think is very attractive and you kind of look, you take a look at them. I'm not going to go into too many more details, but sometimes when you are in public, you might be walking along and you might see someone who's very attractive and you might check them out. So several meanings, but that's the one I wanted to focus on in this lesson. To come down with. Now, this is a timely slide. I woke up this morning and I felt great, but then you noticed I had to blow my nose. My nose was starting to run. And if you listen a bit, you can hear that I feel like I talked a lot last night, but I might also be coming down with something. In English, when you say that you are coming down with something, or when you say, I'm going to come down with something, I think, it means you're getting sick. You're in the very early stages of sickness. But it can also describe being sick. Like I could call my boss and say, I think I've come down with a cold. I can't come to work today. Okay, so to come down with, you get a lot of extra words in this phrasal verb, means to get sick, to be sick. It's not nice to come down with something when you have something important to do. My least favorite time to be sick is the day I have to do a live lesson. It's not nice to come down with something on the day of a live lesson. To count on. When you can count on someone, it means they are reliable. My younger brother is awesome. All my brothers and sisters are awesome. But my younger brother is awesome because I can count on him to help me if I need help with something. I have a good friend as well that I can count on. If I needed a ride to the airport, I can count on him. He'll do it for me. So to count on someone means if you ask them to do something, they almost always say yes. If you need help, they give you help. If you, I was going to say if you need money, they'll give you money, but I don't borrow money from people. But when you can count on someone, it means they rarely say no when you ask them for something. So for my brother and my friend, if I ask them for a ride, if I ask them for help, if I ask them to help build something, I can count on them. They almost always say yes. It's good to have siblings and friends that will do that. to get ahead. So there's a phrase in English, you know, everyone wants to get ahead. To get ahead means to be successful. To get ahead in life means to have money to buy a house and to buy a car. It doesn't necessarily mean to be rich, but it does mean that you are doing okay financially. So a lot of people like to get ahead. When you get ahead, you have extra money at the end of the month. After you pay all your bills, you have extra money to do fun things. So one of the biggest goals in life for people is they want to get ahead. They want to be successful. They want to have enough money to live well. It doesn't necessarily mean rich. Like you could say, you know, he came from a poor family, but he's working at two jobs to get ahead. Basically saying he wants to make more money than he needs to buy groceries and pay rent. He wants to have a little bit more so he can have fun. He's just trying to get ahead in life. To go along. So I should have added the word with, but you can use just go along as well. It means to agree to something. So let's say it has other meanings as well. A lot of these do. But in this case, it means that you're going to do what the person is asking you to do. A good example would be, let's say Jen said she wanted to quit flower farming. I could say, yeah, I can go along with that. And that means I support her in that decision and I am happy and will help her quit flower farming. She's not quitting, by the way. She's waiting for nice weather to come so we can start another season. So when you go along with someone, it means you agree with them, you're saying yes, et cetera, et cetera. It can mean to go with someone. Like Jen went to town and my kids went along with her. Or I could go along with Jen to town to go to the donut shop. But in this case, it also means to agree with someone or to do what they are asking you to do. Sometimes your boss asks you to do something new and you just go along with it. Maybe you're not excited to do it, but you do it anyways. You just agree and you do it. You go along with it. This was the second harder one. I hope that was a good explanation. To look after. So parents look after kids. When parents get old, kids look after their parents. When you look after someone, it means you care for them. Jen and I look after our kids. We make sure we buy them clothes when they need new clothes. We feed them. We buy groceries. We do everything that parents are supposed to do because we want to look after our children. So it means to care for someone. It means to, you can also say to take care. It means the same thing. When you look after your kids, you could say that you're taking care of your kids. So that's another way to say it. And it is kind of how life works, right? Like our parents take care of us. Our parents look after us. Sorry, I switched verbs there. When I was little, my mom looked after me. And now I look after my mom a little bit. I stop in, I help her with her finances. I help to make sure that she has everything in order and that she's taken care of. So when you look after someone, you care for them. You might hear someone say this, like, my parents moved in with me because I need to look after them. So maybe they're not capable of making food well anymore. Maybe they're not capable of even dressing themselves or taking care of themselves. You might have to look after your elderly parent to put up with. So I put this one in because this is a challenging one to explain. Sometimes people behave in a certain way. And you can't change that behavior. You just have to put up with it. So the best example I can think of would involve students or children. Sometimes kids behave in a way, and if you see the mom in the background, kids behave in a way that can drive you crazy, but you just have to put up with it. Sometimes you can ask them to stop, but I would say this, if my kids were enjoying themselves and running around and laughing and having fun, and they were being really loud, I just put up with it. I don't tell them to stop because I know they're having fun. Now, if they were throwing stuff at each other, I would stop what they're doing. Same with students. Sometimes I have students work with other students and the classroom gets loud because the students are all talking to each other. They're not misbehaving. They're talking to each other because they have to communicate to do the work. but it's too loud for me, but I just put up with it. So when you put up with someone or something, it means to tolerate it. It means to allow it to happen, even though maybe you don't like it. You need to put up with it. To see to. So this simply means to do. So when Jen and I decided to paint the back room in our house, Jen said she was going to see to the painting, and I said I would see to putting new lights in the ceiling. So it simply means you're going to be the one that does it. At work, sometimes we plan things as a group of teachers, and one person might see to sending out invitations. The other person might see to the decorations. Another person might see to the food. And it simply means you are going to do that task. You're going to see to it. It means you're going to do it and you're going to get it done. To think over. So this means to think. I don't know why we had to add the word over, but it does definitely get used. Like, I'm going to think it over. Can you, let me see, what would be a good question? Can you do a live stream every day next week? And I might say, well, I'll think it over. That means that I don't have an answer right now. I kind of like the idea, but I don't like the idea. I need to think it over. Again, I'm splitting this phrasal verb and putting it in the middle. It means that for the rest of the day, I'll think about it. There's another one, by the way, to think about, to think over. So I'll think it over throughout the day. When I'm driving, I'll think about it. When I'm at school, I'll think it over for a bit. It means to take some time to think about something before you make a decision. I lost train of thought there because I read a comment. But to think something over, to think about something for a while before you make a decision. To turn down. When someone turns you down, it means they're saying no. It means maybe you applied to immigrate to Canada and then you got a letter saying no. It means you were turned down in the past tense. It's not nice when you are turned down. It's not a nice feeling. Maybe you and five other people applied for a job and you got it, but they turned the other four people down. It means they said no to them. So it can also mean when the music's really loud, you can turn down the music. But when you turn something down or you turn someone down, it can also mean that you're saying no to them. So if a student said to me, instead of writing my exam, could I write a paper instead? I would turn them down. I would say, no, you have to write your exam. I would say no to them. Big no. To set up. So whenever I go outside, I have to set up my tripod. When I get ready to do these live lessons, I need to set up my studio. I need to make sure the light is working and the camera is here. I need to make sure that this camera stays on during the lesson. I need to set up my area here. I have to have my computer and my mouse and everything that I need. So when you set something up, it means you physically put the things where they need to be. When Jen and I go to market, it's on the street, so we have to set up our booth. We have to set up our stall at market. We put our tables out and our canopy. By the way, there is a really good English lesson on learning English at the farmer's market. Just do a search on YouTube. Bob the Canadian, learn English at the market. Then you will find it. But anyways, whenever you have stuff, if you need to take things out of boxes and put them in place, we would say you need to set those things up. To drop off. So you can drop things off. You can also drop kids off. You can drop people off. Probably one of the examples you'll first hear with this phrasal verb is when you need to drop someone off at the airport. So if my brother was flying to Buffalo, he might fly from Toronto to Buffalo. I might need to drop him off at the airport. Maybe he doesn't want to leave his car at the airport. So it means to bring someone there. Often parents will drop their kids off at school in the morning and then they will pick their kids up at night. That's the other part. To fall behind. If you've ever been in a race or if you've ever been working on a project at work that has a deadline or maybe you're in school, you can fall behind. there's a certain amount of running you need to do to keep up to someone. And if you don't run as fast as the person in front of you, you will fall behind. It's not nice to fall behind. Sometimes at work, I try to do a certain amount of work every day. So by the end of the week, I have all my work done. But sometimes I fall behind. Not very nice. To find out and to figure out. Now, this is tricky, okay? This question has come up in my live Q&A lessons quite a bit. And I'll tell you this, they can mean the same thing, but generally, when you find something out, it means you receive information about something that you didn't know, okay? So let's say you're working with someone, and then I'm trying to think of a situation where, let's say you're working with someone and you find out they have 5 kids, or you find out they're married, or you find out that they went to school with your sister. It means that you received information that you didn't have before, okay? And then to figure out means to think about something until you've determined the solution or you've come up with an answer, okay? Now, you can flip these a bit, okay? So that's why I'm saying generally it means this and generally it means this. Because I could say the detective, my car was stolen and the police are going to try and find out who stole it, or they're going to try and figure out who stole it. But to me, they do have slightly different meanings in terms of what the person is doing. So for me, if I want to find out which of my kids ate a cookie, it means I'm going to listen to what they're saying until they give me the information. If I want to figure out which of my kids stole the cookie, I might look at the evidence to try and figure it out. So again, they can be used interchangeably. If my van had no gas in it, I need to find out which kid forgot to put it in, or I need to figure out which kid forgot to put it in. But generally, when you find out, it means someone has told you something, some new information. And when you figure something out, you've used your brain to get that new information. Hopefully that made sense. But you can kind of use them interchangeably. I guess you just need to listen to a lot of example sentences about that. To hand out. At school, I often hand out things to my students. I hand out assignments, I hand out papers, I hand out tests. It means if you have stuff, you give some to each person or one to each person. Sometimes at the store, they hand out coupons at the entrance. They give you a little piece of paper and it gives you a discount. Sometimes when I go to visit my mom, she will hand out candies to all my kids. So it means to give people things that you have in an orderly fashion. To kick back. So I said I was going to have a very low-key day today and a very low-key weekend. I'm going to kick back this weekend. I don't have a lot of plans this weekend. It's supposed to be nice and snowy and cold. I will go for a walk every day, and then for the rest of the day, I'll probably just kick back and relax. So to kick back means to relax, to enjoy yourself, to do nothing for a little bit. To lay off. So if you have a job, and if your boss comes in and says, when you go home today, you don't need to come back tomorrow, you no longer have a job here, that's to be laid off. So I just flipped to the past tense. Your boss might lay off people because they don't need them anymore. So it means to be fired, or it means we also use the verb to be let go. So I could say, hey, does Jim work at the steel factory still? And you could say, no, he was let go or he was laid off. So past tense for both of those. So it means to no longer have the job that you have. To look down on. I think last week we looked at to look up to. So when I was a kid, I looked up to my dad. I looked up to my uncle. I admired them and respected them. But to look down on is the opposite. So you might go to the gym and maybe you have huge muscles and you're really good at working out. And then in January, a lot of new people join the gym and you might look down on them. You might think you are better than them because you've been going to the gym for so long and they're just new and they're just starting out. So when you look down on someone, It means you think you're better than they are. It's not a good thing. It's not good for people to look down on other people and to screw up. So 2 + 2 = 5. This person has screwed up. So this is actually a nicer way. There's a harsher version of this that has the F word in it. I'm not going to teach you that phrase, but this is a softer version of it. And this is used in very common English language. So I could say, you better cut that piece of wood right or you're going to screw up the whole project. Or it's also a noun, by the way. You can call someone a screw up, but that's very rude. That's insulting. But when you screw up, it means you make a mistake. Maybe on question 7 of a test, when I'm writing the test, I do question 6 really well, but I look at question 7 and think, oh, I'm going to screw up question 7 because I don't know the answer. So to make a mistake, to do something wrong, to screw up. Hi, Bob the Canadian here. Thank you for listening to this English podcast lesson. If you would like to support me in the work that I do as an online English teacher, please visit patreon.com/BobTheCanadian.